It's an honor to have Johan here today. Oom Johan, as most of you know him. It's an honor to have him and Rihanna, Tani Rihanna, in our congregation, and we look forward to what God has laid on his heart for us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Rudy. Good morning, church. You know, in Isaiah 62, you read the following words. The Lord says, He wants us to day and night remind him of his promises. How do we remind God of his promises? By praying the word. And that's what I'm going to do now. The most effective and powerful prayer that you and me can ever pray is God's word. So I'm going to pray that over us right now. Lord, we just thank you for your awesome presence here this morning, Lord, and we just stand in awe of who you are and what you're about to do. And Lord, we thank you that your word says that just as the rain waters the earth to bring forth a harvest that will give seed to the farmer and bread to the hungry, so your word, when spoken, will never return void to you, but will prosper in everything it has to do. And Lord, we just thank you that the word that will be sown this morning, the seed, is good seed. And we just pray for our hearts, Lord, that our hearts will be open, deep soil, Lord, to receive this word. And we just ask, Lord, that the thistles, Lord, and the things that mentioned in your word that often wants to strangle your word, Lord, that you'll just remove them even before we sow the word, Lord, that the soil will be good soil in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so first of all, I want you all to take a deep breath in and say, thank you, God, he can't preach. You know why I can't preach? Because I wasn't trained as a preacher. Isn't that good news? That's good news for you and it's good news for me. Yeah. You're not in the same category. I was trained as a doctor. That's my training. And you know, I'm in very good company because the Lord used a doctor to write quite a significant part of Scripture. And I don't have to tell you who that was. That was Luke. He was a doctor. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the Acts. So if God can use a doctor to write the Bible, he can surely use a doctor to bring the word. Not to preach, to bring the word. That's what I'm going to do this morning. All the slides here, forget about the PowerPoint. The PowerPoint is only there to bring the word to us, because most of us don't have Bibles and it takes time to look up the word, so that's why the slides are there. Another reason why I'm not qualified to preach is because I don't look like one. Have you watched the preachers on TV, what they look like? They're handsome. They're young. They have suits on. You know, I'm tempted to say, but they look a bit like Retief, but I won't say that. They're handsome and young. So that's another reason why I'm disqualified. But you know why I'm qualified? Can I just get that first? It's because I have the fire of God in my bones. That's why I can bring the word. And you know, I decided on this topic, on this name for this morning, because I love this word from Jeremiah, which says, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. You know, recently when I watched the fire on TV and I saw that it was all consuming, I said, God, that is your word. It's a consuming fire. That's God's word. Nothing can stand before it. And you know, I saw those pictures of huge trees aflame and a beautiful tree next to it, perfectly untouched. And the next moment, the tree next to it is aflame. That is the word of God. And you know, I may not even touch on half of what I want to say this morning. I think what I want to say is enough for 10 mornings like this. So perhaps we should do that, and perhaps I should just stop. And I won't go over my time. I never do, because I'm a lecturer as well. I know exactly how long students can concentrate. And I immediately know when they're not concentrating anymore. I can see it in their eyes, you know. So you know that you can relax. I'll be very short and sweet. Right. Can we have the next? You know, I was preparing for this, I was trying to think of going back in my life to my first memories of the word. And the first was when I was 6 years old, lying on bed with a little black and white book of 10 pages, looking at the picture of Jesus with sheep following him, and underneath was written, Ek is die goeie herder. I am the good shepherd. And you know what? It's 62 years later, and he's still my good shepherd. Can you believe that I remember that word 62 years later? And then my grandfather was a godly man. When I was 10 years old, I got my first Bible. He wrote in my Bible the word that you see there. And you know, God has been the light in my life, all my life, as my grandfather has prophesied by giving that word. And then there was a long quiet time of 6 years, but I can't remember anything about the word. And then one day, when I was 16, a preacher, evangelist, came to our church, to our school. And I was in a bad position because I was chairman of the Christian Society at school, but unsaved. That's not a good position to be in. And he gave an invitation, and he gave that word. And suddenly, I realized how powerful God's word is. Because when he said that word, I couldn't sit in my seat. I had to get up, and I was instantly saved, miraculously saved by the word of God. So I want you to take this home today, that the word of God is a fire, but we must keep that fire burning, and we must keep it alive in our lives. And that's what actually what this morning is about. Right, next. So, you can just quickly look at that. We all know that, but it's just to remind us that the Word of God is eternal. You know, it is as eternal as God's self. And the Word of God is God himself, because it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. You know, I must tell you this because it's a little joke. For years now, I decided it's better to spend 1 hour in traffic and 1 hour at work to have quiet time than to spend 2 hours in traffic. So I just get up a bit earlier in the mornings. And I have a full hour at work. You know what happens? My first 3 patients that come into? You know how they address me? Pastor. I don't say a single word about God. Not a single word. Thank you, Pastor. Yes. Oh, sorry. I mean, you know, and only from the 4th patient they would say, Professor. And then I just think, God, I feel a bit like Moses coming from the mountain. The glory is gone suddenly. The glory only lasted 3 patients. But you know what they were to tell you? If you've spent an hour in the Word of God before you see your first patient, then God is in you. And you know, I usually have coffee with my unsaved colleague after that hour. You know, he's in a bad position because he got saved. Only because I'm so full of God and the Spirit after spending an hour in the Word of God. Right, next. You can move on, thank you. You know, I must tell you this. If I ask you this morning, are you a man and a woman of faith? You can be very honest. Or if I ask you, grade your faith from 1 to 10. I won't ask you where you grade it yourself. But I just want to tell you, the only way to build faith in your life is by reading the Word of God. There is no other way. You know why that is? Because I call them firefighters, you know? This fire in our bones are continually fighted by helicopters around us pouring out water to kill the fire. What is the helicopters with the firefighters? It is the world, just being in this world. God, you know, we live in a world that continually tries to kill the fire in our bones. And the only way to renew that fire is actually to spend time with the Word of God. You know that verse in Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We usually tend to think of that word as the saving word, you know, for people as I came to the Lord. But it's more than that. Because 4 times in Scripture, there's a verse quoted. It's the only verse in Scripture that I know of that is literally, word by word, the same, from the Old to the New Testament, quoted 4 times. The just shall live by faith. the just, you and me, the righteous, we will live by faith. How do you get faith? By reading the Word. No other way. And or to be exposed to the Word. And, you know, I remember when I first started reading the Bible properly, it was such revelation to me. I saw such things. I actually quoted to my minister one day something I read in the Word, and he actually asked me, does that stand in the Bible? So I realized I'm not the only one who don't read the Bible from front to back. But the one verse that struck me was that Hosea verse, which says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know how little knowledge I had before I started reading the Word. I mean, I don't even want to tell you. I didn't even know I had to be baptized. So little was my knowledge. I knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. But the God of Word, the Word of God showed all these things to me. Okay, in the next. Now, you know, I'm a doctor, but I'm also a pediatrician. And I know what a child looks like that doesn't get food. Because in this country, sad to say, we see it. We call it kwashiorkor and marasmus, medical terms. Those children have no resistance against diseases. They fall ill, for the slightest virus or germ will just attack them. You know, that's exactly what the Christian is who hasn't got faith. You are totally exposed to your circumstances. And I want to leave this with you. Just as food produces physical power called strength, the Word of God produces spiritual power called faith. And you can't live on the memory of the last meal that you had. You know that I had a friend, whenever his daughter, little daughter, asked him an ice cream, you know what his answer was? Man, just remember what he tasted the last one you had. I thought, just what a cruel thing to say to a child. What a terrible thing to say to a child. But you know, that's what we do. We try to survive from Sunday to small group, from small group to Sunday, and sometimes not even every Sunday in every small group. And then we're surprised that we knock down and we fall by the wayside and we're ill. Because we don't take in the Word of God. So I'm going to, in the next few minutes, I'm going to just give four it's not rules, nobody's under condemnation. They're just things that I discovered in my life that helps me to keep the fire in my bones and my bones burning. Okay, next. And the first one is, we must feast on the Word of God. You know that word that brought me to the Lord in Revelation 3:20, it says, when I knock and you open the door and I come in, I will dine with you. It's actually feast. Some translations use the word feast. You know what we often do when we think we're good Christians? Do you know these little boxes with the koringkorrelkies in? You know what those are? Ice cream. It's what Pietri spoke about this morning. Selected verses of God's promises, not showing God's character at all, not showing you what an awesome consuming fire he is. Have you ever picked up a koringkorrel that said, God is a consuming fire? No. You haven't. He doesn't say that. Now I want to tell you what we are like. God is setting a table for us each morning, a feast. A feast. You know what we eat? We pick up one koringkorrelkie, put it in our mouth. He's got whole wheat bread, loaves of that. He's got steaks on the table, as Tiff said this morning. But we're satisfied with the koringkorrelkie. And then we think, we can grow, and we can be strong, and we can be men and women of faith. Right. You know, I love that word which says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And this is Ezekiel, the prophet, actually saw the scroll. The Lord said, eat it. And he ate the scroll, and you know what? It became sweet in his mouth. And you know, the more time you spend with the Word of God, the sweeter it gets. Even the difficult parts, even the parts where God prunes you. It's so sweet. Thank you, God, that you actually love me so much that you are pruning me. All right, next. We must stay in the Word. You know, I recently had Well, not recently. This started when I was still working. I had a lady colleague. She was a very, very, learned woman. She was actually my boss. She was from East Germany. And one day she came to me and she told me that some very nice people have knocked on the door on a Sunday morning. No, I don't have to tell you who those were, because they only go for the people who are not in church on Sundays. That's another reason why you must rather be here on a Sunday morning. Okay, so, and I said, yes, and what did they say? And she was excited about it. You know what? Because I had the Word of God in me and I knew the truth, I could expose these people to her. And I had an amazing experience a few weeks ago. I went to visit her in a beautiful house, and it was lovely. She's 84. She's got the table set with candles and flowers, but you know, she's got no mind. She's lost her mind. She's got very serious Alzheimer's, but she's got a day and a night carer looking after her. But the Lord just said, go and visit her and take her flowers. And I came in, and she recognized, I thought she recognized me, I wasn't so sure. Until we walked to the car, there was another lady with her. She waited till the other lady was at the car and we were alone. You know what she said? Johan, thank you for telling me about God. You know, I'm not alone in this house. He's with me every day. I say, God, she hasn't got a mind. But you know what? The spirit is still alive. No mind, but a spirit. And I could do that because 2 Timothy 3, 16-17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, when Retief said this morning about things that still have to come to pass in our lives, I was just putting, standing before the Lord and said, Lord, here I am. I know there's a lot more to come. I've had so many prophecies over my life of more to come. But you know, that's also for each of you. There is so much more than we have at the moment still to come. But we will get it by getting the fire in our bones and by getting the Word of God inside of us. You know, I recently saw two other people. Quickly tell you, nobody is exempt from deception. I met a guy, very learned guy, who was raised in a Pentecostal church, who is now totally on the wrong road of Jewish rules and regulations. And when I quoted Galatians to him, he says, please don't throw Galatians at me. And I knew I was on the right vein. But, you know, he's deceived. And Rihanna's got a friend who was, we thought, she was saved and baptized, everything, went to Canada, came back, and she's now a total New Ager. So nobody is exempt from deception. But the one thing that will keep you from that is the Word of God. And you know, the other thing that the Word of God does, when you don't have fire in your bones, you just, it's not so big low, as the Bible say. You know what? You can't read the Word of God and go away from that, staying like that. So it's not only to keep you from deception, it's also to show you, my goodness, you think you're right, you think you're in the right place, but just look what Jesus said. Look at his teachings. Look where you are and what the Word says. So it's a continual, actually looking in the mirror of the Word and actually weighing yourself according to what Scripture says. Right, next. Now, you must now bear with me because this is now a bit more Scripture. But you know, when I was young, I come from a very traditional background where meditation wasn't in our Christian language. That was something that the Eastern religions did and the New Ages did. But you know, there are different types of meditation. We're not saying mantras and looking at the red ball all the time. We are looking at the living, eternal, alive Word of God. That is our meditation. We're focusing on God. And the Word is very clear about it. There's two scriptures that says not only we should meditate, he says we should meditate day and night. Now, how do you meditate at night if you don't have the Word of God in you because the lights are off and you can't read the Word? So that is why you must meditate on the Word so that you have it inside of you, you know, always. you know, and I love these two words. This is not prosperity gospel, it's the word of God. The word of God says that if you meditate on his word, you will be prosperous. You know, Psalm 1 says, that man that meditates day and night will be like this beautiful tree along the water, which will bear fruit and in season, and whatever he does shall prosper. And Joshua 1 says, again, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Somebody said the other day, it is the only word, only place in the Bible where the word success is used. And that is Joshua 1, verse 8. And it is totally connected to meditating the word. Now, I thought, how can I explain to you how it works? Now, I'm going to give you a little practical example. I was in Stanford last week, and I have a little room where I can be quiet, close the door, and read the word and meditate. And my word for the day was Psalm 118. And can I just show you what the Lord showed me in Psalm 18? Right. Next. Can we have the next slide, please? Oh, Psalm 18. This is what I read. I'm sitting now, got my cup of coffee next to me. I'm relaxed in the presence of God, and I'm start opening the Bible, and this is what I read. Oh Lord, how I love you, for you have done such tremendous things for me. And you know, immediately the presence of God was there. And I just said, Lord, yes, what tremendous things have you done for me? And I sat there, and the Lord reminded me one by one by one of the tremendous things that he's done in my life. You know, you can just read it over with your mind and says, I've done my scripture reading for the day. That is not meditation. God wants you to delve deeper. God wants to show you deep things, secret things from his word. And then I read the second verse, and it says, how God protects me. He says he hides me. Let me just see. The Lord is he's a fort. He's a rugged mountain. He's a rock. He's my shield. He's like the strong horn of a mighty fighting bull. Yeah. You know what? This is for me. God says, nobody will touch you, man. You don't have to worry. I will hide you. No word from anybody will touch you. You are hidden. You are protected. You are mine. And you know, that's for all of us. But the Holy Spirit must reveal that to you if you allow him and give him time while you're meditating on the word. But the best is still to come. Next. Then I read this. Now, I'm going to read this because this is amazing. I just thought after I've read this, we will have to have the prayer army on Thursday evening in church here. There won't be place in the room outside there. You know, because we pray, but we don't know what happens when we pray. You know, because we can't see. It's a spiritual world. Can I show you what happens when we pray? In my distress, I screamed to the Lord for his help, and he heard me from heaven. My cry reached his ears. Then the earth rocked and reeled, and mountains shook and trembled. How they quaked, for he was angry. Fierce flames leapt from his mouth, setting fire to the earth. Smoke blew from his nostrils. He bent the heavens down and came to my defense. Thick darkness was beneath his feet. Mounted on a mighty angel, he sped swiftly to my aid with wings of wind. He enshrouded himself with darkness, veiling his approach with dense clouds dark as murky waters. And then, yeah, suddenly, the brilliance of his presence broke through the clouds with lightning and a mighty storm of hail. And when I read that, I thought, God, whenever I cry out to you, this is what happens. And we sit there and we don't, you know. And you know what this scripture also showed to me when I meditated on it? Often, you don't see anything happening. God covers himself in darkness. And suddenly, what happens? Lightning and hailstones. So not a single prayer that you've ever prayed is in vain, even if you haven't seen the results yet, because God shrouds himself, he covers himself in a moment to reveal himself and his glory. So this is meditating the word. I will never forget this psalm again. I don't have to, like in my katkasasi da, you know, had to memorize scriptures and come and be a good boy and say it up, not meaning anything to me. That's not what it means. It means you spend time with the word. You reflect. You say, God, what do you want to tell me about my scripture for today? And the God will reveal amazing things to you. Right. Next. And I've already spoken about pray the word, and I love this verse in Isaiah 62. It says, if I translate it into modern English, the Lord loves us to remind him of his promises day and night. What's his promises? It's his word. And you know, where I first learned about this, nobody taught me this. Later, I realized there were books written on this. And I got some of the books. But you know, my dad, I was very close to my dad. I really loved him. He was a godly man. And he was always healthy. I can't ever remember my dad being sick. And when he was 75, they phoned me one night and said, you know, my dad is admitted to Panorama. We were out, and I got there, and he was in the intensive care unit, and I came in. All the children were there, you know, already. And then the sister said, I know you're a doctor. You know what your dad is going, eh? You see that, eh? I say, yes, I'm looking at the blood pressure. It's coming down 50, 40. You know, coming down. So just, you know, and have you been in situations where you couldn't pray? You just don't have prayers. What do you pray when your dad is dying? You know what the Lord told me to do that evening? He says, just start quoting my scripture, my word, Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 is all the covenant names of God in one psalm. All the covenant names of God. And I just started quoting the word of God over my dad. You know what happened? He woke up the next morning. He lived another 8 years. And the Lord confirmed this by somebody later in the week just putting a piece of scripture written on a piece of paper in my hand. You know what was written on the piece of paper? Psalm 23. And my father's sister wrote a letter to him. And the letter was actually exposition of Psalm 23. So that is how God reveals himself to us. And I want to tell you today, recently Rihanna and myself had a very bad day. It just was something in one day. Everything came down on us all together, too much. And we woke up the next morning, and Rihanna won't mind me if I say she was in tears when she woke up the next morning. And I realized, God, what sort of prayer can I pray in this situation? The Lord says, pray the word. So we took Psalm 112, which is a wonderful word that the Lord has given us many years ago, and repeated the promises of God back to him. And you know what? After that, Rihanna smiled. And we didn't have any more worries that day, and the Lord turned things around. So there is no more effective prayer than praying the word of God. Right. Next. I told Ronald I'm going to say this this morning, it's very, very shortly, but Ronald said the other day in intercession, the Lord showed him a hand with a sword in it. You know, when we talk about the armor of God, it's another type of prayer. That's a prayer that Jesus prayed when he was in the desert. What did he do? He quoted the word. That's all. Because with the armor of God, the only one that is attacking is the word. The others are all defensive. But did you know, oh yes, by the way, the vision that he had, or the picture, was not of God holding a sword, it was us. The Lord didn't say, pray to God and ask him to move the mountain. What did the word say? Speak to the mountain. He says he gives us the authority to speak. How do you address your mountains in your life? Because we all have mountains all the time. You know, you just use the word of God, because that's the one thing the enemy can't stand. He can't stand the word of God. That's why he left Jesus after Jesus three times quoted the word of God. He left him and he went, because the word of God is powerful, alive, and eternal, and he can't stand against that. Right, next. I just want to say this to you. You know, in Matthew 11:25, Jesus said the following. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to the babes. You know, as a child again, I was brought up quite religiously, and I think some of my friends here who grew up the same time will know what I'm talking about. You never put a cup of coffee on a Bible. You know, that was, Bible is a holy book. You sit in a certain position when you pray, on your knees, and you hold your hands in a certain way. You know what's much more important than your position of your body? It's the position of your heart. God speaks to the humble, and God speaks to those with childlike hearts. You know why the Pharisees couldn't understand anything? They couldn't accept revelation knowledge. Did you read there what Jesus said? He said, reveal to babes. You can read scripture with your intellect when you're clever. It won't change anything. But you can only receive revelation if you have the heart of a child. So when you come before the Word of God, say, Jesus, just give me the heart of a child. Just make me open, make me humble. Just make me accept what you want to tell me this morning. Right. This is my second last thing I want to say. I want to give you some hints. Now, this is not a recipe. There's no recipes. We are all different, but this is what worked for me. I just found that the morning is the best time, if you can. Because why do you have to go through all the sufferings of the day and then complain at the end of the day to the Lord of everything that went wrong when you could have actually invited Him into your life before the day began and got His word and the fire in your bones? The second, I already told you that the way I solved the problem was by getting up much. I'm not a morning person, by the way. I had to learn that. But I got up at, left home all the last 10 years of my life, 6:15. Was at work at 7. From 7 to 8, I spent time with God while all my colleagues, I just heard they were sitting, you know, in front of, all their lights were on. They're the same time there as me, but they're busy writing articles and doing reviews for manuscripts and preparing lectures. You know what? I did all of that. But I gave God the best time of the day. I gave Him an hour. And that's amazing. You just give God the best and He gives His best to you. Okay. Be comfortable. Please don't be religious. If you like coffee, have a cup of coffee next door. I even sometimes have 2 cups of coffee while I have quiet time. You can have green tea if you don't like coffee. Please read a translation that speaks to you. For the last 10 years, I've been reading the Living Bible. I just love it. It's this little one. You can see I've had it for 10 years. It's been read. I just love it, because it just speaks to me, and it's the Word of God, and it's a recognized translation. The other thing is, I read the Word unplugged. You know, sometimes these guys come and they say so-and-so unplugged, you know, on the stage. We love to read commentaries. You know why? You don't have to think. When you read a commentary, there's nothing wrong with it, but when you read a commentary, you're reading what God showed other people. When you read the Word unplugged, you say, Lord, this is the raw Word. Break it open for me. Give me revelation this morning. You don't read what the Lord... And what I tell you this morning, not a single thing I read in a book or I got from the internet. This is what God gave to me. Right, thank you, God, for that. And be willing to spend time. You know, why must we spend time? Why it must be quiet? You can't read the Word of God, children dancing and hopping over you. And you need to close the door, shut it, and only you and God, and give Him time, and decide to spend time on meditating. And you know what? God will use that is deposited in you, to bring to prayer army, to take you to the small group. Sometimes I send SMSs while I'm having my quiet time. The Lord says, just listen to what you must immediately send to your son, Joburg. Or send this to Retief, or do this or that. So immediately the Word is actually working, and you're sending it out. And then read the whole Bible. You know, I read this yesterday, by the way. I didn't know why I'm going to tell you it's important to read the Old Testament as well. And then yesterday, the Lord said in Matthew 13:52, those experts in Jewish law, who are now my disciples, have double treasures from the Old Testament as well as the New. So why would you only have a single treasure if you're going to have double treasures? The Lord speaks to me from the Old Testament just as much and just as powerfully as from the New Testament. And then, 1 year Bible. You know, I've been reading this for the last, 14 years, continually from front to back. I don't stick to the dates in here. I just read it. Some days, I can't read everything. Something happens that I can only read part. But the lovely thing about this is, you read it from front to back. And you don't have to, you know, just open it at random and say, what will I read today? I'm not so sure what I must read. You know what you read the next day's portion of Scripture. And I can't tell you how God has ministered to me through this. Somehow He knows what my needs are the day when I read and what I have to read. And what other book is there that you will just open and start in the middle or just read for the last three? Okay, sometimes you want to see the ending. You can do that with the Bible as well. But most of the time, it makes much more sense to read it from front to back. And don't feel under condemnation when you skip a day or two. And you don't have to do it in a year. You can do it over 2 years. Most of the time, I do it over 18 months now. When I first started, I managed to do it in a year, but it was hectic because, you know, some days I had to read 2 days because I sometimes had to miss. Yes, and that's what I want to say this morning. And if you know, from everything that I've said, if I can just tell you that the Word of God means so much to me, I can't live without it. I'm looking forward to my quiet times. I'm looking forward to God's presence. I must rekindle the flames and the fire every day. And the only reason, if you think I've got faith or you think I've got it's because of the Word of God. Okay, shall we pray? Yes, Lord, this morning we just stand in awe, Lord, before the power of Your Word and Lord, just Your love and Your beauty, Lord, being poured out whenever we open this word. And Lord, we thank You that it's new every day. It's like fresh manna. It's never old, Lord. And Lord, we can read the same verse 100 times over, and suddenly in one day, You just make it coming alive in our lives for our circumstances. Lord, all of us this morning, Lord, we desire that fire in our bones, Lord. We really want to be on fire for You. Lord, we want to be like that tree that was so on fire that the heat and the combustion, Lord, just suddenly jumped from one tree to the next, and the next moment, another tree was aflame. Lord, that is what we pray this morning, and this is our desire, Lord, for myself and for every person in this church. And Lord, thank You that You deal with us uniquely and separately, and not like we're not a religion, Lord, we are Your children. And I just ask that by Your Spirit, You will just show each person, Lord, how to go on, how to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, baie dankie, Johan. Dit het my net weer gebless. Ek dink dis een van daai preke wat ek graag, ek wonder of jy dit 3 keer in 'n ry sal preek vir my nie. Dat mense net alles kan deel maak van jou en kan hou. So, we're going to put it up on the internet soon. So you can download it because I believe it's something that one can listen to quite often, just to remind you of the foundational truth and the need thereof. And it's just so awesome to see this, the fruit of exactly this in your life. And it's something to aspire to. So thank you so much. It's much appreciated. I'm quickly going to close in prayer just because I love praying. And then you guys can go and grab some cook and coffee. Don't sped off too hastily. Chat a bit. And if you've got a couple of questions, do ask him, Johanna. I've got the privilege to see him now and again for a coffee or breakfast or even for a cycle ride, which is really awesome. And then I can ask him these questions, and he teaches quite a lot around his own experience and testimony. So go and ask him practical stuff about, but what if you feel like this, or what if this happens, or how do you experience that? Or what about Leviticus? Or whatever. Go and chat to him and ask him. And even ask him to pray for you. I wanted him to pray for us, which he did. And let's receive what God gave us today in the Spirit. But there's a place of knuckling down and doing it yourself. It's not all supernatural impartation. There's a way which we commit our flesh to do it as well. So let's quickly close. Father God, we thank you that as we receive a prophet or a righteous man, we said this morning, we receive their reward, Lord. And we've received the reward, a massive reward this morning. Thank you, God, that it's just so evident that Johan didn't prepare in a week or 2 weeks or even 3 weeks. He's 62 plus years, Lord, as he himself said, Lord, of relationship with you and your word was the preparation for today, Lord. And we're really honored to just have that fruit and be able to share that testimony and eat that. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you that we bless the word in him, but bless the word in us, Father God. And then I just agree with him, Lord, come through your Spirit and show us practically, each one of us, how to do it, Lord. And help us to knuckle down and to do it. Please anoint us to do it and to be disciplined, to receive your word and to love it and to fall in love with your word and to have that fire and that zeal like Johan testified about. I pray that it will spread not only to us listening today, but especially our children, Father God. Where it will not be a mere religious act, not just a book to read from cover to cover, but it will be living waters. It will be a living person, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh to them as well. We ask for a generation that will be filled and full of your Word, that will know your Word, and be able to worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name, amen.